Welcome to day 152 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. This week we've been reading through the Amplified Bible. And today we will read 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And yesterday we were reading a corresponding passage in 1 Kings chapters 3 and 4 that talk about King Solomon and how the Lord appeared to him when he went to Gibeon to worship the Lord. And so we're going to hear a similar narrative today that was recorded in the book of 1 Chronicles. And then we will also read Psalm 72, which was written for King Solomon. So beginning at 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1. Solomon, son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every prince in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. And Solomon and all the assembly, a united nation with him, went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tent of meeting of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness, was there, where the Canaanites had habitually worshipped. But David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the bronze altar that Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was there before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the assembly sought the Lord. Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord at the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy and loving kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before these people, for who can rule this your people who are so great?" God replied to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches, possessions, honor, and glory, or the life of your foes, or even for long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may rule and judge my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches, possessions, honor, and glory, such as none of the kings had before you, and none after you shall have their equal." Then Solomon came from the high place at Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in the cities suited for the use of chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold in Jerusalem as common as stones, and he made cedar as plentiful as the sycamores of the lowland. Solomon's horses were brought out of Egypt. The king's merchants received them in droves, each drove at a price. They imported from Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. So they brought out horses for all the Hittite and Syrian kings as export agents. Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Verse 1. Give the king, knowledge of your way of judging, O God, and the spirit of your righteousness to the king's son to control all his actions. Let him judge and govern your people with righteousness, and your poor and afflicted ones with judgment and justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the hills through the general establishment of righteousness. May he judge and defend the poor of the people, deliver the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor, so that they may revere and fear you while the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. May he, Solomon, as a type of King David's greater son, be like rain that comes down upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his, Christ's, days shall the uncompromisingly righteous flourish and peace abound till there is a moon no longer. He, Christ, shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the coast shall bring offerings. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls out, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will have pity on the poor and weak and needy, and will save the lives of the needy. He will redeem their lives from oppression and fraud and violence, and precious and costly shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him, and through him continually. And they shall bless and praise him all the day long. There shall be abundance of grain in the soil upon the top of the mountains, the least fruitful places in the land. The fruit of it shall wave like the forests of Lebanon, and the inhabitants of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. Indeed, his name continues before the sun. And men shall be blessed and bless themselves by him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to bring your attention to a few verses that we read in Psalm 72. As I said in the introduction, the authorship of the psalm is unknown, but it is clear from the introduction that the psalm was written for and about King Solomon. And it's a prayer, praying for the king, for God to help the king. It starts out, give the king knowledge of your way of judging, O God. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, let him judge and govern your people with righteousness and your poor and afflicted ones with judgment and justice. In verse 4, it says, may he judge and defend the poor of the people, deliver the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. And if you continue throughout all the verses of that psalm, you see a theme here of the author of this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, praying a prayer, writing a psalm, a prayer to the Lord to help the king to be a godly leader. And some of the qualities that this psalmist is praying for have to do with the king becoming a leader that judges and defends the poor, delivers the children of the needy, and crushes the oppressor. We know in modern society there are many leaders of nations who have little thought for the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan, but they're very focused upon their nation rising up in power, whether it be becoming an economic power or a military power or a power in the area of influence and prestige. But this psalm tells us that it is God's heart for the king, or you could say a national leader, to be a person that judges rightly, governs with righteousness, and takes care of the poor and the afflicted ones, and defends the poor, and delivers the children of the needy, and crushes the oppressor who would oppress the poor and needy. This is truly a godly leader who would have that heart. We know that Jesus, when he walked on the earth, the scripture tells us that he was moved with compassion. In other words, the things that he chose to do, to pay attention to spend time doing, had to do with people and showed the compassion of the Father. This is the way of the Lord, and it is God's will that every person become a defender of the poor and a deliverer of the children of the needy. But how much more someone who's going to be in leadership in a government, whether it's top-level government or lower-level government, God wants leaders of nations to have his heart. And God always is a defender of the poor and the needy and the orphan and the widow. And that's what the psalmist wrote about when writing this psalm for King Solomon. Instead of becoming some governmental leader that's easily influenced by money or power, the prayer of the psalmist is that the king will have a humble heart and a compassionate heart to judge and govern with righteousness and take care of the poor and the afflicted ones with correct judgment and with justice. This certainly is the will of God because it's the character of God. God is a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness. He has mercy on the poor and the afflicted person. In the New Testament, we are taught to pray for those who are in authority over us. And this is a direct reference to praying for governmental authority. But how shall we pray for them? We certainly would pray for God's wisdom to be imparted to them. But this psalm is an excellent psalm to pray for government leaders. Give the king knowledge of your way of judging, O God. Give the president, give the governor, give the senators knowledge of your ways of judging, O God, and the spirit of your righteousness to the king's son. Let him judge and govern your people with righteousness. This is a beautiful prayer to use when you are praying for governmental authority. Let the Lord guide you in using Psalm 72 as a model for praying for those in governmental leadership. You can pray, Lord, may they judge and defend the poor of the people. May they deliver the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. You can use these scriptures to pray, Lord, give them a heart like you have for the poor and needy. Give them wisdom how to deal with the problems that are confronting people in low-income situations who are desperate for financial help. You can pray, Lord, judge and defend the poor of your people. God wants us to be a prayerful people, but God wants us to be a compassionate people. And for us to be compassionate people, we need to pray for our leaders to be compassionate people who have a heart for the poor and needy so that they are not overlooked in the midst of people who have resources and money, finances, that the leaders will pay attention to the needs of all people, not just the money being offered by lobbyists and people who have means so that they can be used to influence the government. God wants our leaders to have a clean spirit, a compassionate heart, and wisdom to direct the affairs of state government, federal government, whatever level they happen to be serving in. So use Psalm 72 as an excellent model for praying for leaders. For certainly the psalmist who wrote this psalm knew how to pray for King Solomon, knew how to pray for someone new in their office, so to speak. King Solomon started out as a young man when he took the throne, and he did need prayer. He prayed for himself, but he certainly needed to be covered in prayer so that he would continue to have a heart for the poor and not be distracted by the wealth of the rich and their needs and wants and desires. So I want to encourage you today, become a person that does pray for governmental authorities. Don't just think it's of no use. The people who get elected are just going to run the entire show. We need to pray. We need to believe God for godly leaders, and then we need to pray for those who are elected and take on the responsibilities of government, that they will be guided by God and that God himself will give them a compassionate heart so that we don't neglect, but instead we defend the cause of the poor and the cause of the orphan and the widow. God bless you and give you a victorious week.